At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, 15 years of reporting on the rise and domination of commercial space. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website. Your subscriptions, your donations are most appreciated. Thank you. And we turn immediately to the rise of commercial space. There will be bumps. Bob, a very good evening to you. Gilmore, what is Gilmore?
Gilmore is a privately held rocket startup based in Australia. It's Australian. It's the first private Australian rocket company. It attempted this week to do its very, very first launch of its Eris rocket. And it was doing it out of its own spaceport on the eastern coast of Australia. They have land and they have their own spaceport and they've got permission. And they attempted a launch and they failed. Less than 20 seconds after liftoff, even sooner than that, one of the engines on the rockets failed. And so the rocket started to translate sideways, move sideways. Instead of going up, it was going sideways. And then it basically lost power, and it fell, it crashed, and it was over less than 30 seconds after launch. It never got about 150 feet in the air. And as you say, John, there are bumps in the road. This is, to use the cliche, rocket science, and it's never easy. And so this for this first company, they have a failure. It's an engineering test when you do a first launch. So if a failure occurs, you look at what worked, you look at what didn't work, you fix what didn't work, and you try again.
I watched a video on X on YouTube the other day about rocket engines firing and balancing and the work at SpaceX. Bob, they all have to happen exactly at the right moment. Otherwise, things go out of control. Rocket science genuinely is an art form. Wow.
Yeah, you have 10,000 plus things happening and only one has to go wrong and you fail. You got to get it all right. It's truly great engineering at the cutting edge, and every time someone succeeds, they've moved humanity's skills forward significantly.
No suggestion that Gilmore's not going to try again, right? They'll be back.
I don't see any reason why they won't. They apparently have the capital to go forward.
All right.
You don't do one launch and in rocket science, if you fail on the first launch and you give up, that's really not a rocket company. It's a hobby, and that's not serious.
All right. For everybody who's ever done a renovation of your kitchen, this next item, Star Lab has chosen design company Journey. What? What are we talking about, Bob?
All right. So Star Lab is a space station proposal. It's one of four private commercial space stations that are vying for big NASA contracts to build their space stations. Star Lab got some development money already from NASA, and they've gotten their design, the preliminary review of their design approved. Their space station is going to be a single giant module launched on Starship. That's their plan. And so all these space station companies, consortiums are vying to convince NASA they're the one to pick. And it's not clear whether NASA will pick one or two of these when it makes its final selection next year. But they're all vying for it, and they have to demonstrate competency and skills. So one of them, Haven 1, is building a demo manned station, a short module on its own dime. Axiom is putting up tourist flights to ISS to show that it can work with ISS and Space Station, and it's building modules. Orbital Reef, that's Blue Origin's consortium. They haven't done much of anything. Star Lab, however, they haven't built anything really, but they are partnering with a number of different people, including Airbus, European Space Agency. They're trying to position themselves as someone who can provide for Europe above all. They have now partnered with the interior design company Journey, which designs the interior spaces of places, you know, very spectacular type designs. It's a PR move here to design the interior of the Star Lab space station. Now, they haven't built anything. The idea is to show that Star Lab is partnering with quality people to put together its project the best possible way. And they want to make their space station not only a, quote, cutting-edge research platform and a welcoming, livable habitat, close quote. You know, that's good. This partnering on their part, I think, strengthens their bid for the contract, because even though they haven't built anything, their design has been approved, and they're bringing in a lot of very powerful partners as part of their plans. John.
I see the debate, Bob, with paint chips. You don't think this is too much yellow for it, really? Do we? It's got a suggestion of green in it. What do you think? Oh, it's going to come, Bob. We know this.
It's the best possible thing. When we get to a point where they're arguing about fashion spacesuits, then we've reached critical mass and we have a real civilization in space.
Firefly, raising money. What is Firefly? Good for them.
Firefly is both a rocket startup, it's got a rocket called Alpha, and a lunar lander company. It's got a lander called Blue Ghost, and it was the first commercial private company to do a successful landing on the moon. Well, they are now going public. They are going to issue an initial public stock offering, and they're hoping to raise more than $600 million with this offer. I've got details on Behind the Black. They have not set a date for the IPO. That is left out of this announcement, but they're announcing the details and you know where to get information about the company. So if you're planning to buy, you will have some information beforehand. Firefly is a strong position right now as one of the startup rocket companies. They still have some problems with the Alpha rocket. It's gotten launched a bunch of times, but it's had a lot of problems. It's gotten payloads into orbit, but it's still had issues. However, their Blue Ghost lander was a complete success, and they are definitely showing, and they've diversified their company in space in a number of ways. So this is a strong company, and I think they'll raise their money.
And there'll be more of this, Bob, because heretofore there's been private money going into, say, SpaceX, not for the public. This will be a public offering, correct?
Yes, this is a public offering. We've had several mergers with those special acquisition companies, venture capitalist companies that purchased stock as companies went public. They basically weren't big investors. But this is a case of an IPO, public. Anyone can buy the stock. And we're going to have more of these. There's no question. We had a wave of these things a few years ago. Many of them failed, partly because of the regulatory burdens put on during the Biden administration. We're now beginning to see the beginning of a second wave of IPOs.
We've learned also not to bite everything that looks like an apple, because sometimes it's owned by people who associate with Virgin Galactic. Sometimes. All right. Now, here's the news that is not negative, because with the transformation of space to commercial space and IPOs and monetizing, big space has done its job. Congratulations. And NASA's workforce is shrinking. By how much, Bob?
All right. So, you know, when Trump came into office, he offered an early retirement plan for government employees. If you accepted the plan, you could get out early with some bonuses, and they would have be able to reduce the workforce. So it's voluntary. This is not cutting the budget, making Congress cut the budget. This is not forcing budget cuts. This is asking people if they want to leave. And in NASA now, its workforce is going to shrink by nearly 4,000 people. 20% of its workforce, because of the 18,000 people that work for NASA at the moment, 4,000 of them about took the plan. So they're going to leave, and they're gone. And I can guarantee you the Trump administration is not going to quickly rehire these people. So it doesn't really matter at the moment what Congress budgets for NASA. NASA's workforce is going to be small, so there's going to be a savings of money. There's no doubt about that. This is not a disaster. You're going to hear lots of press reports saying this is a disaster. It's going to be an extinction of science, catastrophe. It's not. Because as you mentioned, John, private enterprise is pretty much picking up the slack. And if NASA is going to act as a customer buying products, rockets, spacecraft from the private sector, it doesn't need a big workforce. How many people do you need to issue a contract? You don't need that many people. And so, and like, you know, you want a lunar lander, you ask Blue Firefly to build a Blue Ghost. It's doing the work. You don't need lots of people at NASA. So this reduction in force is a good news for the taxpayer, and it's not a bad news for space.
Also, commercial space asks a question that didn't come up for big space, which is, how do I make money on this? Show me the incentive. I'll show you the product. And NASA never had to deal with that. But now it, and now the startups like Gilmore and Firefly and even SpaceX, they have to show a profit. And that's a good thing.
That's right. That's exactly right, John. I mean, the big space companies, they approached making money by seeing if they could get cost-plus endless contracts from NASA, so they weren't interested in efficiency. The new private sector thinks very differently, and that's why we're having success.
South Korea, are they involved or are they getting out?
You know, when you have the fork in the road, you take it, as Yogi Berra said. South Korea has been saying it wants to develop a private space industry and have the government be the customer and not building things. It created a space agency, though, last year, and it created a fund for trying to switch power to private companies, have the space agency do that. Well, the South Korea has now, its space agency has now completed the transfer of its government-built Nuri rocket to a private South Korean aerospace company called Hanwha. So this appears that they're transferring power from the government agency to private sector. It's not entirely clear that's what's happening because it doesn't appear that Hanwha owns the rocket. It appears it's acting as the operator of the rocket. Meanwhile, the government agency is going to proceed to try to build a next-generation launch vehicle, maybe reusable. So it seems like they're making an effort to adopt the capitalism model, but they're not quite there yet, John. It's a step, but I don't know if they've made the step in the, as far as they should at this moment.
Another balloon company. Just a big picture, Bob. There was a video some time ago that you put on your site where people were going to get into a luxury cabin and go up to very high at the edge of space and then come down again. That was a balloon company. There are lots of
them. There were several.
Yeah.
There were several of them. We had at least two in the States, and there are at least three in Spain that have been trying to build these high-altitude balloon companies that would give you a flight high, about 20 to 30 miles high. You wouldn't be in space officially, but you'd see the curvature of the Earth, and you'd be paying a lot less money and be up there for hours versus like the Blue Origin, New Shepard quick hops on suborbital flight. They get up higher, but they don't stay up very long. So one of the two American companies, Space Perspective, literally went bankrupt about 6 months ago. It ran out of money. This is the news. It has now been purchased by one of those Spanish balloon startups, EOS X Space. And it's going to still operate, apparently, in the U.S. It's going to be working, its corporate structure structured in the U.S., working for EOS X. So it's not really leaving the States, but it's been purchased by this private this Spanish company, probably to give it investment capital to survive. So that reduces one of the companies. EOS X is one of three balloon startups in Spain, and they're all vying for tourism, and they've all been suing each other for the last few years, accusing each other of stealing the idea from the other. And I don't know how that's played out yet in Spain. There hasn't been any recent updates, but we now at least know that Space Perspective might survive using money from Spain.
Did I know there was a Texas Space Commission? Has this come up before, Bob?
Yes, we actually have talked about this. This was created by the legislature in Texas last year. And the idea of the Texas Space Commission, it gets funding from the state government, which then can issue grants to various private companies to try to encourage private enterprise, private enterprise in Texas. And it's issued some good money and some, I thought, questionable money. And this is an example of questionable money. It has handed a $5 million grant to a proposed spaceport near Midland, Texas. Midland, that should give you a clue. This is in the middle of West Texas, which means any rocket launch from this site has got to go over land, and its stages are going to crash, either in Mexico, in Texas, in New Mexico, in Colorado, any number of places, or in Texas. They're going to have to, even if they're completely reusable, the lower stages are going to have to land on land. And So this is, to my mind, a bit of political gamesmanship going on here, where they're passing money around from one government agency to another, because the money goes into the Midland International Air and Spaceport Organization. It's a government agency in Midland trying to encourage a spaceport in Midland. They're going to not fly out of Midland. It's another location farther west. But either way, I have questions about whether this is real or not.
Bob, doesn't this mean that it's very likely that the treaties will fall into Mexico and New Mexico?
Yes. That's my point. That's why I don't think this will ever fly. They won't get permission to do it. So the money here is a little bit of, grift under the table, paying off friends. That's how I see it. I don't really take this very seriously.
Well, Mexico is already evidence that it is not comfortable with.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, John. And I got to point out that the rockets are going to also, if they do a polar launch to the north, they're going to fly over the entire United States and Canada. And they got to get permission to drop their rockets. Even if they're landing and going to be reused, you got to get permission to land. And I don't see that happening.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, 15 years of covering the success of commercial space. And you just had examples of it. They're all in all directions. We're headed to the solar system.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.